Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The hymn we just finished had the phrase sacred story in it. What I'd like to do for the season of Lent is to parallel what we're doing in our adult Bible study in the gymnasium area, and that is to tell the story of Easter beginning at the first promise. So we'll start with the promise at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and walk through the promise as it's carried through the people of God and finally through Bethlehem and then to that sacred hill where the cross was. So we'll see that story during the season of Lent. For this first sermon, then, I'd like to use Genesis 3, 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike at his heel." It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, or the other way around, I'm not sure. It's one of the two trivia questions I got right in the trivia contest. My team won this trophy. It's a bobble-bottom donkey, and it's last place. The other one I knew was "Call Me Ishmael," which is that white whale one, whatever that was. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, I'm reminded of that book about best of times, worst of times, because it seems like such an apt description of our lives much of the time. Adam and Eve would have to be thinking that they were in the very worst of times, and it would seem that perhaps they had just lived through the worst moment that it happened in all of history. They lost the whole world. Now they would be sick. Now they would know pain because of their sin. Now they would know famine. Now they would be at constant war with the devil. And now they would die. We lose things sometimes, and we know the feeling of losing things. It might not be the whole world, but it feels like it. When you lose something important, where would they spend the first night? What would they eat? What might eat them? For the first time in history, would mankind be afraid of noises in the dark? We live in that place. We have lived there all our lives. We might even have the same question that must have haunted them. How do you go on after you lose everything? I can remember being in a hospital with someone who had just had a tragic loss in their life, and the question they sobbed to me was, "What do I do now?" The idea of going on with your loss is a burden that weighs us down. And God didn't make it sound easy. From this moment on, the ground would not yield its bounty so easily. From this moment on, children will be born in suffering and in pain. God even put an angel to guard the gate going back into the garden so they couldn't go back in again. The way was closed forever. How did even God expect them to put the pieces back together and go on when they had lost everything? Ash Wednesday, a perfect day to remember our failures, because ashes are a symbol of sin. It's the day we remember that we're sinners. And of course, it's not the only day you remember that, is it? There are so many days when we remember something we have done and we're sorry for it and we regret it and we've earned the feeling. And I know we're headed for Easter, but it doesn't feel like Easter, does it, when you start thinking about your failures? And it doesn't feel like a day you could celebrate when you start thinking about the things you did wrong. And this brings us to our text for today. The terrible day that we call the fall is the beginning of the story of Easter. God made a promise. In that promise, the devil signed his death warrant. The battle that plagues us every day will end. The devil loses. It's already guaranteed in the promise. I bet they were glad to hear that part. But what must have lifted them up so amazingly so that they could go on was that God said someday there would be born someone who would deliver them back into the presence of God, and they would live again without all of the horrible things they would now suffer. If this season of Lent finds you in a time of loss, then I want you to remember the rest of the story. God made a promise. Now for us, grief is meant to be temporary. God calls us to see that when we are wrong, we are wrong. And we ought to regret every sin. But he wants us to put sin in its place We're meant to let it go. We are not meant to live in connection with our sin. The ashes are a symbol of what would be if God had not delivered us, but He did deliver us. Now we're supposed to live in a new reality. We are forgiven people. There is not a moment, a second in your life that you live under the penalty of your sin. You do not have to be afraid that if you suddenly had a heart attack, before you could be sorry enough, or before you could say you were sorry, then you would not be saved. You do not live under the penalty of your sins. It's the story of Easter. Those losses do not go away, do they? They stay in our hearts. And for some reason, we cannot push them so far away that they won't come popping up someday when we least expect it. And some days, they are so strong in our memory, as if they happened just now, as if they were fresh and new in our lives, and you know you're supposed to go on, and you know you have a life to live in the present, and that happened a long time ago. But some days a loss is so big, it's just all there is, and you cannot summon up the strength to go on. The promise is for that moment too. I imagine Adam and Eve walk by the Garden of Eden every now and then. Adam lived to be 930 years old after he had his third son, Seth. You know, the other first two had their little problem and got killed and banished. After his third son, Seth, the Bible says he lived 800 more years. He spent a long time on earth. Surely he came by every now and then. And I would think that the angel that stood at the gate would become kind of a tourist attraction. When you go visit Grandpa and Grandma, Adam and Eve, you have to go by and see the garden and the angel standing by the gate. I would think at least for the first parents, it would be a painful outing because it was a reminder of what they had lost. But the promise made all the difference. What they saw across the fence in that wonderful garden was not just their ruined past. They were looking at their future as well. The loss was not forever because God made a promise. Now we come back to us. And to the loss for which we grieve, they broke the world. We are surrounded by this brokenness. It feeds upon itself, so it is growing, and it's getting worse. We are broken people, and we make the promise worse. We fail to do the good thing some of the time. Often, we fail to do the right thing. It's our promise, too. The real message of the ashes. Tommy and I were talking about what to say when you come forward for the ashes, because the traditional saying is, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. It's a law statement. Tommy and I are not going to say that. Tommy and I made up a statement, and I've already forgotten what it is. So Tommy will have, whatever Tommy says, I'm going to say too. And if I could remember it, I would say it to you now because it's good, but I can't remember. So the real message of the ashes is not what it would have been without Jesus, because He did come, and we have Easter. And Easter exists all through the season of Lent. Someday all of the time of loss will be over. Death will go away. There will be no more pain. And not one second of that new life will be spent in any kind of regret. And there will be no mourning. And it's an amazing description of heaven that the way God describes it that I understand is that when we get there, He wipes away every tear. And there will be no more tears to follow. Loss is not allowed in heaven. And as much as you can, God will call you to live that way now, to understand the promise doesn't wait to come true. It already has come true for you. You, forgiven of every sin. You, guided by God in this life. You, used by God for special purposes. He would remind you that we live in that broken world and there will be times of pain, but He gave you a promise, and that promise has your name on it, and He means to take you from this world to dwell forever in the joy. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.